Glory to God. Well, we've been talking about for weeks now just faith and healing. And we're going to stay on that for a long time, probably. Last week we talked about how faith comes, and we're going to continue that this week. How faith comes. Can you turn over in your Bibles to Romans 10:17? Romans 10:17. Actually, we'll go back to verse 13. It says in verse 13, Romans 10:13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." One man said when we were at school, you know you have beautiful feet. You have beautiful feet. Do you know that? Do you know you guys have beautiful feet? Why is that? You're looking at me just like what we did. What does it say? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. So if you are bringing the gospel of peace to people, you guys have beautiful feet. You know that? Say, I have beautiful feet. Because I'm bringing the word. Amen. You guys are looking at me. Like, what is this guy talking about? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. If you qualify for that verse, according to God's word, you have beautiful feet. He loves the people. He's died for the world, don't get me wrong. But when we honor him by bringing the gospel to people, he honors that. Verse 16, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we read back in verse 13, it says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So whoever calls on him. Now, we've gone over some of this before. We're just reviewing. "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But verse 14, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" So how are you going to believe? How are you going to call if you haven't believed? "And how shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard?" How are they going to believe on him if they haven't heard? They can't call if they haven't heard, and if they haven't believed. They can't believe if they haven't heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? So somebody's got to speak the word, or else they've got to read the word to be able to hear the word so that they can believe the word so that they can be saved. And saved, in this context, is talking about salvation, being born again, coming into the family of God. But this is how, in verse 17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This is how faith comes in all areas, is by hearing what God has said. Hearing what? Hearing the word. Hearing what he said. And we went over what faith is. We're going to go over some of that in the upcoming weeks, but we touched on it a few weeks ago. You know, faith is a firm persuasion, a confidence. Confidence of what? Well, that something's going to happen. What's going to happen? Or certain behaviors. God's going to do something. Or some circumstance. If I do this, like in this instance, if I call on the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. What are we believing? We're believing what, in this case, what God has said. That's what faith is. Faith is not some religious word. Faith is not something that it's become such a word that, well, do you have faith? Or are you a person of faith? And what it's got this connotation that differs from what we're really talking about, what Bible faith is. Bible faith is believing. Faith is believing. Believing is faith, is to have faith. To have faith and is to believe what God has said and be fully persuaded, firmly persuaded that what God has said is the truth. And so no matter what situation it is, like we were just talking about Daniel, you know, in the announcements, Daniel was firmly persuaded that God's way was the right way and that if they just did it God's way, he would still be healthy even if he wasn't eating the king's food. See, he put feet to that. He was able, he was willing in that. It's easy to say, well, I believe. Yeah, I believe. But he was firmly persuaded because in that situation, instead of bowing, instead of saying, well, I'll just eat this food, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. The Bible doesn't talk about that. I mean, we need to follow the word regardless if it offends people. People are too easily offended today anyway, but that's another topic. But Daniel was firmly persuaded that what God had said, what his commandments were true, and he acted on them. He said, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you're saying. You just give us vegetables and water and we'll look better. Watch. Did he already have it in front of him? Did he know just from a sight perspective, just from a mind perspective, that was going to happen? Did he see it? Did he see anything to that effect? No, it was going to happen. 10 days from now, he's saying, you watch, we'll look better than these other people. What is that? That's faith. He was firmly persuaded because he was following God's word. He believed what God said and he said, watch. This is going to happen. The guy that was over him wasn't so convinced. He was worrying about his neck. But Daniel was convinced. He was saying, no, it will happen. You watch. You just give us vegetables and water. You watch. It'll happen. That's the way faith talks. If we've seen in the Word what God has said, then we're not just yapping. I'm not up here just yapping about Jim's ideas tonight. No, we're preaching what God has said. And if he said it, we're declaring what the Almighty said. The Bible says you have to, those that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice that. Them that come to God must believe that he is. It doesn't say that he proves himself first. We got to come to him believing what he said. So when we're talking about faith, when we're saying what the Word of God says, we're declaring what the Almighty has spoken. It's not that Jim spoke it, okay? Because that in push comes to shove, that's not going to work. You're at home, stuff's yelling at you, whatever it may be, pressure's coming down. You say, yeah, but Jim said, or whoever, you know, somebody, I read an article and, or at Andover Christian Center, we believe it. No. That's not what we're saying. We're saying God said it. And so when you're in the middle of a situation, you say, but God said, who are you appealing to then? You're appealing to the word of the highest authority in the universe. You're saying, no, God said this. Yeah, but it looks like this. But God said this. Yeah, but it looks like, but God said. And if God said it, and you believe, it's got to happen. If he's the Almighty, the Creator, that set everything up, and he said, if you do A, B's going to happen. One of two things. Either what he said is going to happen, or he messed up somewhere. Amen? He's wrong somewhere because he's either right or he's wrong. If God said this will happen, we either believe that or we don't. Amen? Amen. Either we believe it or we don't. Yeah, well, we could say, see, right now we could say, yeah, but. Where's the but? We're saying, yeah, but God said, but. See, no, we say, if we're thinking, yeah, well, I know somebody and they tried and yeah, and I know it says that in the Bible, but. What are we saying? We're saying what God said is not true. I know what God said, but. See, that's saying, yeah, yeah. I mean, think of it. What we're really saying is, yeah, yeah, the creator of the universe said that, but I have information that maybe he didn't take into account, so this has to be tacked on afterwards. As if we had the scope, the ability, the frame of reference to make a judgment after God has spoken, after he said something, and then we're going to say, but. When we get down to that, that's really arrogant. When we're saying, if we look at it like that, we're saying, yeah, I know what God said, the Almighty, the Creator, the one where there is no beginning, no end, who has all, who was there at the beginning, who's seen men for thousands of years. But I happen to know something that maybe he could have used when he wrote that, because he didn't quite have the right perspective. That's, you know, yeah, we can all shake our heads right now and say, yeah, that's foolish, but we have a tendency to do this, and the enemy will tempt us to do this. Yeah, but, you know, there's this and this person. I don't care what the experience is of any given person. If God said it, we have to get to the point where, no, God said it. So what it really should look like when we're talking is, yeah, this looks this way in my life, and I'm not seeing this yet and that, but God's word says this, so it's got to be according to what he said. I don't see exactly what I believe I should be seeing here in my limited understanding, and it doesn't look like it's God's coming through, but he said in his word, and you name whatever applies to your situation, but he said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. But he said he would supply all my needs. But he said, with long life, I will satisfy you. But he said that he will send his angels to have charge over me. It's like somebody said, you know, you can tell if you're in faith or unbelief by where you put your butt. Do you put it before or after God's word? And I'm telling you, use that as a litmus test when you monitor your thoughts and what's coming out of your mouth. You'll start to notice in what you're saying. You'll start to notice if you're saying, yeah, I've heard those scriptures. Yeah, I know that. But, and you're not maybe using those words, but that's your line of thinking. A big red flag should go up and say, unbelief, I'm doubting, I'm not believing God right now. What we should say is that I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care what the circumstances are. God said it, and that's the final authority, and I'm going to believe this. That's when faith is speaking. And when you get to that point to where you don't care what it looks like, then you know you're in faith. It doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter what Aunt Susie did. It doesn't matter what this dude did. It matters only that God's word says it. So I don't care what it looks like. God's is true. God's word is true. Kenneth Copeland said this. He said, he goes, I don't care if I was in the hospital dying my last breath. I would say, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And people say, well, doesn't that sound a little contradictory? You're dying and you're saying, God healed me. Well, what the point is, you have to get to the point where regardless of what it looks like, you believe God's word in spite of the circumstance. That's not contradictory. Because if you're looking at the circumstance, and what you're really saying is, this doesn't look good, so I'm questioning the word of God. So you're really basing the faith, your belief, not on what you've heard, not on what the word says, but on what you can see, feel, taste, smell, whatever. Yeah, but this person died. So what? What does that mean? Does that mean God's a liar? Or does it maybe mean something, you don't know everything in that situation? Brother Hagin, I believe it was his sister or it was some close relative, he tried to pray with her and tried to believe with her and different things, and she went on to be with the Lord. She died. And it bothered him. And he, you know, it was just like, God, why? I don't understand. And he had a vision. You know, Brother Hagin had several visions, open visions of the Lord, and went, basically went to heaven, you know, in the vision. He was in heaven. And he saw his sister. I believe it was his sister. I may be wrong. And he spoke to her and saw her, and she was just happy. And she said to him, "Don't worry about anything. I know what went on. I know why it was. Don't worry about it. That's between me and God." Didn't tell him why, but said, "Don't worry about it. I understand. I know what happened." Don't ever judge God or the Almighty Creator, the Word of God, by what you have seen or what somebody experienced. Yeah, but Aunt Susie, I mean, she was full of faith and power, and she didn't make it. Why didn't God heal her? Wrong question. God has already provided healing through Jesus. He already paid for it. Regardless of what some person does or does not do in their life, we don't change what we believe to line up with experience. There are people that are going to hell every day, dying, rejecting Jesus' sacrifice. Does that mean that God doesn't want to save them? Does that mean that it was the will of God that they go to hell? No. He did everything. He made the sacrifice. He's already paid. He said all you need to do is receive. Yet people reject it. Does that mean God doesn't want them in heaven? Does that mean God just preordained other people to go to heaven? No. That means somehow they rejected it. That doesn't mean that's the will of God. Well, how much more? In other things, no matter what you look at, whatever situation. Well, I don't know. This person, you know, they were believing God, and look what happened. They died in a car accident or something. They died young. I just don't know if I believe in God. How could God let that happen? Well, you don't know what the situation is. God may have been way more merciful than you even know in that situation. I've heard about numerous things where when a Christian, especially a Christian, dies young, God was warning them. God was showing them somewhere they overrode something. They weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's not to put fear in anybody, but we don't know the situation. God will always, it is important to stay tuned to Him. There was a story that Brother Hagin told God about little kids. I mean, he was talking about being led by the Spirit of God, but little kids, just being children are sensitive to God. Amen. I believe the Bible teaches there's an age of accountability. I mean, when people, you know, some churches will say that you have to baptize a child when they're first born or else they're going to hell. That's not in the Bible. They can't be baptized. They can't be born again. They can't make that decision as an infant. And I believe what the Bible teaches is when they come down, they're inhabiting a body. But their spirit, what have they done? Their spirit is completely from God. And they're alive to God. Paul said, "I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, I died." What do you mean he died? Literally? No, he's writing this. He wasn't dead. What do you mean? He died spiritually. But children are alive unto God. And there becomes an age, and it's different for different people, where they cross a line and they specifically reject God. And at that point, they've sinned like everybody else, and they need a Savior. But anyway, Brother Hagin was telling this story, and woman was dropping her husband off to go on a flight, and this was a long time ago. And there was a child in the back seat, and I don't know how old he was. you know, 5 or 6 or something, and they came up, and he was sleeping. They had evidently, they had driven there. It might have been early in the morning or whatever. And they had driven, the man got out and you know, was getting on the plane and everything, and the plane was taking off and going up, and all of a sudden, the child sat up and said, "Mommy, Daddy's not on that plane, is he?" And she said, "Well, yes, honey, he's on that plane." He goes, does Daddy know that the airplane's going to hit that mountain?" And sure enough, next second the pilot did something or whatever, and they careened into a mountain. Now, was that God's will? No. Not on all the details why the person was there, but evidently, I mean, the child knew what was going to happen. So that God was alive in there. You tell me that God wasn't telling? That same Spirit of God wasn't directing and guiding that man? Of course he was. Of course he was. So things will happen, and then people get off, and they get mad at God. They'll say, "Oh, well, I don't know why a God would allow this to happen, or God would allow that to happen." That's a tactic of the enemy, because the enemy will bring. He's done this from the beginning in Genesis. He'll bring and say, "Did God really say? Now, are you sure God said? Are you sure?" And he's always from the beginning. The Bible calls him a deceiver. He'll come and he'll impugn God's character. And that's his tactic, is to turn men away from God. So what do we need to know? What are we talking about? How faith comes. How does faith come? By hearing the word. And relying on his word. Not circumstance, not hearsay, not our feeling, not what we think, not our philosophy, not somebody's theory on how it should work. It's only on the word of God. It's not what some preacher says. It's not what some book says. It's not what, you know, some course says. It's on the word of God. Period. No matter who says it. Not if I say it, not if you name the person. It's got to line up with this book, because he's the one that has all authority. And if he's put it here, if you believe something and it's not in here, you ought to drop it. You ought to examine everything you believe in light of if you can find it in the word of God or not, because that's the only thing that's going to hold water when the real trials of life come. Not what somebody said, not what you heard, not the way you think it ought to be. That the enemy will run over all that. Those are all reasonings. People are caught up in all kinds of reasonings and sidetracks all over. People, you know, the enemy will just get them over here. And, "Well, I don't know about this, and I don't know about that." And they'll go like that for years. "I just don't know." He'll keep them there. No, when we hear the word, we have a choice. We can act on it. We can say, "That's the word of God. Therefore, I believe it, regardless of what I see, feel, taste, smell, regardless of what stories I've heard, regardless of what my experience has been, I believe the word." That's faith. That's how it comes, is by hearing what God Almighty has said. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11. Wednesday nights, you know, we've said this, but just so you know, Wednesday nights are more like, we're just going to, not everything's necessarily going to be tied up in a nice bow. We're going to speak on what we believe in the direction God has for us, and we're going to get as far as we need to go. But then we're going to pick it up probably the next week, unless God tells us to do different. It's not necessarily we're going to sew everything up. So it's more like, you know, teaching, you know, ongoing. And so I encourage you, you know, like last week, we're kind of starting where we left off last week. And so it builds. So I'd encourage you to go back and listen. That's why we make those available. But what I'm saying is, you know, we generally go again, if the Spirit of God leads, we'll go whatever we need to. But generally, we're looking at about 8 o'clock or a little bit after. So, you know, we go for that long and reach a stopping place and then pick it up next week. So let's go over to Hebrews 11:1. We'll talk about this a little bit, and I think that'll probably be it. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 11:1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Moffat's translation says, "Now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see." Our translation says, "Faith is giving substance to things hoped for." I'll read that Moffat's translation again. "Now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see." We're convinced of what we don't see. Why are we convinced of it? Because we've heard what God has said and we believe it in spite of what we see. We feel what somebody else says. We're moved only by the Word of God. Faith is the substance, the confidence, the firm persuasion of what we hope for, what we expect. It's the evidence of things we don't see. It's the evidence of things that we don't have haven't registered on our senses. But why do we believe? Why do we still expect something that we don't see? Because God says it. Now we use the example of getting born again or being saved, coming into the kingdom of God. We read in Romans 10:17. Why do we believe? Because we've heard the word of God on the subject, and so we believe regardless of what you can see or feel. You're acting on what God said. You're acting on what He said, not on what we believe. I mean, not what we just have heard or feel, but we believe, we act on what He said, we choose to believe it, faith comes, we choose to act on that faith, and we stick with that regardless at that point. And we're not moved by anything else. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Maybe we can close with this illustration. Brother Hagin gave the illustration of when he was, you know, he was healed when he was 17. He had a problem with his heart. His heart didn't work right since he was little. He had a blood disease, and he had paralysis. He couldn't, his legs didn't work very well at all. Basically was bedfast. So he was in bad condition. But he believed God. He got a hold of what God said concerning healing and just believing Him for that. And he got up and was healed of all those things. But, you know, so he was able to function, but his strength hadn't returned fully. I mean, if you've been sick, you're feeling better, but you're not 100% yet. You're still getting better. I mean, you probably experienced that with the flu or something. If you've been, you know, down, and then you can feel it that day that you feel good, but you're just not quite 100%. Well, his legs were working, his heart's working, His blood's back to normal and everything, but he's just not full strength. I mean, he had been bedfast for a long time. He just was weaker than other children. And so, but not long after that, he needed to work. And so he took a job pulling up peach trees and an orchard for to fulfill orders that would come in. And so these young men would come in, and one get on one side, another one get on another side, and pull up these trees. And evidently, it's very hard work. I mean, it sounds like hard work to be thinking about, but they get up early, and then they'd be out there doing this all day. Well, it was hard work, and he was just recovering. He's skinny, he's lanky, and he's just getting his strength back, but he needs a job. And so he would get up in the morning, and he would quote, I think it's Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life." And he would get up and say, "Lord, you're the strength of my life. Your word says that you're the strength of my life, so I expect to have strength today to do this work." Now, that would be a job that just a normal person, not having gone through everything he had gone through, that would be a challenge out there, and it was for people. But he just got up, he got out of bed, he said, I felt weak, I didn't feel good physically, but I said, "Lord, you're the strength of my life. The Bible says you're the strength of my life, so you're the strength of my life." And he got up and he went to work. He doesn't feel strong. He feels like going back to bed. If he was going by feelings, he'd just go back to bed and say, "Well, I guess I'm just not progressing. I guess I'm just not, you know, just not getting as strong as I ought to be. I guess the power of God just isn't working. I just ought to get back to bed." But he said, "No, the word says that the Lord is the strength of my life. So I'm getting up and I'm going to work." And he went to work, walked to work, still doesn't feel good. Shows up at work. And the other guys, you know, he's been there a few days, but this just went on where he wasn't feeling good. And he, you know, he's recovering. And they see him coming and they're like, "You know, you're not going to last." And there's some big guys there. One was 250 pounds. Big dude. And they would tell him every day, "Well, you're not going to last. Why don't you just go home?" And he was the skinniest and the weakest of the bunch, naturally speaking. But he showed up, still didn't feel anything. Could have said, "You know what? I guess it didn't work. I'm here. I still don't feel good. I feel like I ought to go back to bed. Well, I guess God didn't show up. I'm going to go home." And then they start work, and he puts his hand on that first tree. And he said either by the time he started the first tree or sometimes the second one. So he maybe went through one, still feels weak. Nothing happening. Feels like I ought to be at bed, you know, going back to bed. What am I doing here? But no, he's saying, "The Lord is the strength of my life." And he said, "You know, I didn't preach to people. I didn't, you know, try to push myself off on people. But if somebody asked or somebody gave me an opportunity, I would say something to them." So they would say, "Well, you know, what are you doing here? Why don't you go home?" And he goes, "Nope, the Bible says that the Lord is the strength of my life. So I'm here. And I'll still be working later in the afternoon, too." And he would preach at him. He said people got so mad at him, they'd start cussing at him. Because they just irritated him. But he's sitting there, or standing there, and he would start and act on the word. Nothing's happening. You understand, he doesn't feel anything. If he's going by feelings, he's going to turn around and go back to bed or just be sitting there going, "God, what happened? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I spoke the word. I said the word. Nothing's happening, though. I still feel weak." Notice this. He doesn't feel like it, but he's still acting on what God has said regardless of what he feels. So he said, and either by the first tree or the second tree, he said something hit him, like on the top of the head, and just went down, just the power of God, and just strength came on him, and he worked the rest of the day. And he said every day, people would quit. Say, "That's enough for me. That's enough for me." And one day you know, quit the job altogether, didn't want to have anything more to do with it. And one day this 250-pound guy said, you know, when there's one person out there working, it's going to be me. If I'm still out there working, ain't none of you going to still be there. And he said that day, that guy keeled over at 3 o'clock and Brother Hagin was still going and he was the last one going. And he's the weakest and skinniest of the bunch, naturally speaking. But he was acting on the power of God. Now, if he would have been going by feelings, he would have just gone home. This robs us. We say, well, where's God? But what are we acting on at that point? Are we acting on what the Word says, what he said, or are we acting on what we feel at that point? We're acting on what we feel, or what somebody else said, or what's going on. And see, that's where we need to move. Faith, real faith, is coming by what he said, and then we just focus up on what he said, and we don't look at what our body's telling us or what our mind is telling us. We just look at what he said and focus up on that and say, no, it's true, but it doesn't look true, but it doesn't look like it's true. It doesn't look like anything's changing. Yeah, but he said it's true. And we just focus on that. And we just stay there. Stay there how long? Stay there until. Stay there until. See, a lot of times we'll wait, well, after time has passed or whatever, we'll say, well, I guess it's not working. Why did we make that decision? Because time passed? Did that make the Word of God of none effect? Did that change His Word? Did anything change His Word? No. See, when we ask those questions, we're not looking at Him anymore. We're looking at the circumstance. I'm so many times, that's the determining factor, is that we go back and say, yeah, but it hasn't changed, and we miss out on what he said. Amen?